Blog Talk Radio.
I'll do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever you want me to. Yeah, you have a friend in me till the end.
Well, welcome to today's episode of Relationship Marketing 101. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, Dean and founder of the IM University, and it is my pleasure today to have my guest, Lynn Rose of LynnRose.com, and my co-host, Jennifer Carter of EmpoweringWomenInBusiness.com. Jennifer and Lynn, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you
so much.
It is so great to be here. I am just going to jump out there and say I'm excited about today's show in so many reasons, and everybody who's listening, you're going to hear why soon. Before I talk about our special guest today, by chance, Gina, are we able to play that song or do we need to hold off?
We can definitely play that song. Let's see if I can do it. I can't promise that I'm going to get it in here quite the way I want it, but let's see if I can. I'll try.
Okay, as she warms up, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of Lynn Rose's original songs, and it is the crux of what we're going to talk about today, and it represents who Lynn Rose is, whom I'll introduce in just a moment.
Okay, let's see if this comes through, Jennifer.
All right.
It's okay. Just a little clip from it. Did that work?
Okay, all right. Well, we'll keep it with that in a minute, and we're going to send everybody to Lynn's site later on to listen to her music. So thank you for playing that. Before we go any further, let me introduce, for those of you who haven't heard of Lynn Rose, let me tell you a little bit about her. Lynn has been touted as the voice of transformation, and that is why she's on today's show. She is responsible for inspiring and motivating hundreds and thousands of people around the world. She's a world-renowned transformational speaker, author, TV and radio host, and even a singer. As a performer, she's made countless appearances on Broadway, TV, and film, and has toured all over the world, having opened for people like Sheryl Crow, Jay Leno, Kenny Loggins, and many others. And even sang at the Super Bowl. Move over, Jennifer.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Lynn has forever been passionate about personal growth. As you heard, she's hosted her own radio show on the Personal Achievement Radio Network. She's heard across the country, works with and have interviewed people like Robert Kiyosaki, Brian Tracy, Dennis Waitley, Mark Victor Hansen, and the list goes on and on. And she is powerfully committed to leading people to their fullest self-expression and greatest potential. I'm so excited about. Lynn then has led motivational keynotes and headlined for major corporations and top network marketing companies throughout the world, and she created something called the Goal-Getter Experience. Now, for those of you who haven't experienced it, this is a heart-centered goal-getting system, and it really goes out there and helps you to harness the principles of the law of attraction for achieving your goals with focus, ease, and fun. Next, and we're going to talk about this a little more today, she's also responsible for skyrocketing people's careers and lives out of experiencing her program called The Wow Factor. And I've had a chance to experience this, so I can't wait for her to tell you more about it. What The Wow Factor does is it transforms people into possessing freedom and powerful command in their presentations. She's trained a lot of people, including some of the leaders from the movie The Secret, some high-powered actresses, and others. And having done all of that, sang around the world, spoke around the world, Lynn feels that it's her highest honor has been that of being an ambassador for an organization called Healing Bridges. She feels that her life now has a deeper meaning and richer understanding because of her most recent trip to the Sudan to help over 200,000 women and children known as the Forgotten Refugees by the UN, and she's forever grateful for that opportunity. Lynn is committed to a life that makes impact by helping people around the world connect to their hearts, activate their fun gene, and lead them to their fullest self-expression. So I could probably talk for a few more hours about everything that's great about Lynn, but you guys have heard enough of me. I'm going to welcome onto the air. I'm so excited to have her. Welcome, everybody, Miss Lynn Rose.
Well, welcome, Lynn. It is certainly my pleasure to have you here today, and I can't wait to hear about the Goal Getter and the Wow Factor and all these other great things that you talk about.
Thank you. Well, it's nice to be on here. I appreciate you guys having me on here. We'll activate our fun gene. Well, Well, exploring about all those things, and also I love what you're about as far as relationships and really fully expressing oneself, and I would imagine an aspect of what you guys talk about too is standing in your power and within your power while in relationship, and I think that's awesome. So I'm looking forward to this next hour and a half.
Now, Lynn, what you just said right now, standing in your power, and repeat that phrase, standing in your power and from your power, is that what you said?
Well, Lord knows it just comes out. I don't know how I said it, but
right.
Well, I believe it was standing in your power within a relationship. And Nasty, I don't know how I said it. But really, you know, I think what I understand, and I can't remember how you guys did your description, but it resonated within me. And one of the things I keep learning about is standing in one's power, whether that's, you know, one's in a relationship or not. And that has always been kind of a lesson and a life lesson for me, and I think maybe some of what just motivates all of my work. So,
what I talk about often is people who are out there trying to build businesses many times will go out and just build a business because they heard there was some money in it. And the better way of doing it is really to go out building a business that uses your passion, so that your passion is fueling the business is fueling your passion. And in the end, you end up creating this business that is a lot more fun, it's a lot easier, you get bigger results, and if you're really doing it in a way that you're focused not on being somebody selling things, but you're really out there in a way that is serving an audience, and you're using what you do and what you know to better serve that audience, you will get better results. And so I think in seeing what you do and what you teach, our messages are so congruent.
Mm-hmm. No, I love what you said. It's so true. And sometimes we can't really, we feel like there's this hidden thing that we can't allow or accept ourselves to have what we really want. Mm-hmm. And so to really go for the business that we really feel passionate about or believe in, we can't really believe we'd actually be successful in it. So we start feeling like we need to follow shoulds or templates or see somebody else doing. Or like you said, oh, this looks like this would make money. And that you can't really have what you want in life and have the prosperity along with it. And then when you start breaking free of those shoulds and those templates, especially in that particular belief system, it is really powerful. And I believe
it really is.
I believe we should break up all the shoulds and templates no matter what it's applying to, personally. But
I would agree with you.
Yeah. And yesterday, I just love simplicity and wisdom. And I realized, like, three of the most powerful words, and it just keeps getting them at deeper and deeper levels and all the different layers. And that is by Joseph Campbell, and he said, follow your bliss. Three words, and in those three words, there's just a wealth of wisdom, and I think it certainly says it well for what you guys are getting the message out there about.
Absolutely. That really does say it all.
Lynn,
yeah.
One of the things that I really like about you, so I went through your wow factor about, I don't know, a year and a half ago maybe, and I'm going to have to go through it again, and it would take on such a whole different meaning for me. This is absolutely your transformation for me. A lot of which, you know, Gina's been experiencing some of it right alongside me and helping me maybe break through some things. But, Lynn, earlier you said, and Gina, you said this too, you have to live and create a business of passion, live a life of passion, but you can't do that while you're following those shoulds, while you're playing those roles and not standing in your power. And, Lynn,
right.
You're really good at helping people bring that out. And I have to say, you know, I'm going to be on this path of evolution and growth until the day I die, I'm sure. Having said that, this year in particular for me, I am learning what setting those roles that I think I'm supposed to play in order to do whatever, be whomever, what that means to me and what it means to stand in your own power. I am feeling, and this is what I'm really excited, I want to hear how you do this for other people, how you get them to pull out who they authentically are, who the real them is, to, you know, shed away all of the, well, this is what so-and-so thinks you should do, this is what that person thinks you should do, this is what society thinks you should do, and helping to pull out who they are, stand in their own power, because we all have such amazing potential when we allow ourselves to feel who that is that we are. So.
Right. Well, thank you. And and it is a, you know, I think we all can have life lessons around this. And just like that quote, follow your bliss, you get it deeper and deeper levels. We get that concept about the freedom and power of really just trusting and being who we are and coming from that place, and how much more powerful it is as opposed to when we start adding the walls or templates to it and think that's what makes it powerful. One of the core concepts from WOW is that you are your message. People are listening to you. They're feeling into you far more than the actual words you're saying. So you can have the greatest description and have things scripted out, but if you aren't communicating it from a place that's truly connecting, that's you know, authentic, and said with power, and you know, or not feeling like you're trying to get something from someone, but just really saying it from a clear place, people can feel into that. And even though it will look like all the dots are connected, it's the right thing to go, right way to go, they won't maybe make that choice to do business with you or to whatever it is that you were communicating, your product or your message. They may not follow that because they just have this feeling. And what it is they're feeling into you. And on the flip side of that, you may be communicating your product or service or whatever your message may be, and the words may not be completely perfect. But you are saying it with such passion and purpose. You are saying it from that core place. You're authentically connecting. You are standing in your power. You have that power in how you communicate, and it's being authentic in who you are. And then people just respond. All dots may not connect when they look at it. People have made decisions on, you know, big money decisions, let's say on a real estate decision or some contract, and didn't necessarily have all the pieces in place, but they went on the power of that connection with the person they were doing business with. And so it is so important. And it's not just in business. You know, when you do business, a lot of times you have to do a presentation, or you're dealing with clients one-on-one, or speaking to audiences. I think that's a great way, actually, for people to promote their business, is to get out and speak there about it and share value for people, whether they would choose their business or not. And when you are speaking, especially, is to drop those shoulds and those templates and that armor. I think so many people think, okay, I've got to put on my speaker suit now, and I will move my hand this way, and I'll speak with like this, because I've seen speakers speak like this, or whatever it might be. And it's really doing a disservice to the audience, because it's not letting them feel into who you are, and it's actually doing a disservice to yourself. Because it's taking away your own aliveness, your own maybe joy at doing it, because that ends up starting to be like a pressure. It starts compressing you. You aren't really having that freedom of just being you in that moment and trusting and knowing that if you were, and if you allow that, and if you could just connect from that place, how much more impact you would make, how much more fun you would have, how much more power you would have. So it is definitely something, obviously, as I keep going on and on here, something I'm passionate about. And it comes from back in my past that I came from a place where I actually had been shut down, literally, both on stage and off, frozen with fear. And it was so painful because I knew I had so much inside I wanted to get out, and yet I could barely get sound out. My body was so stiff when I was trying to, like, talking to someone or certainly on stage. And it took, you know, some years of breaking through. And I know what worked for me. I know what ended up being like the shift that kind of dissolved the walls or let me get to that next level of peering out and peeking out and allowing myself to come through. And so now I was able to put it all together in this training that takes really beginner or expert alike and just explodes into a quantum level, a next level of their speaking, and it's really powerful work, and it's something I'm passionate about.
Lynn, I want to ask you a question, and that is this: I want to know. Now, you've been a performer for years, and my question
right.
to you is: Have you?
What's that?
Can you still hear me?
Yes.
So my question is: have you always felt this powerful, I can take on the world, I can do anything I want, I can live out my dreams? Have you always felt that so powerfully? If so, where did it come from? If not, how did you get to where you are now?
That's so funny. No, I have not always felt that.
Because you look like you do. If you watch this girl on stage belting out, I'm telling you, she rivals Celine Dion. If you listen to her and watch her, she looks like she's had it forever. Lynn,
thank you.
No. How did you get there then?
Yes, yes. And just so people know too, I mean, I also am a speaker. And, I mean, not just a singer. I mean, I love singing. And I'm learning now, incorporating singing even within my keynotes and speaking, because it makes the message go deeper. But I have not always felt that. And even now, you know, I will have my doubts and my moments, and what I've just learned to do is to navigate through it, to not have it mean that because I don't have that absolute feeling and just knowing I can conquer the world and I will make this happen and I just know it and it's innate in, or something, that does not mean that then I'm not meant to do it. It does not mean that I then don't have what it takes, and certainly evidence has proven that I do have what it takes. But it just means that I'm human, and it just means that it's part of the process, I think. You know, there are some mutants out there who are born with that knowing feeling and just always have it, and it's not a problem. But they are a very small percentage, and most of us will have our doubts, and it's just learning to accept them, embrace them, and learn to navigate around them and not take them as something that means X, Y, Z. We get to choose the meaning. And when we claim that power of us choosing how what it is that we want to achieve and how we feel, no matter what voices come up in our head or no matter what doubts or no matter what perhaps conflicting belief systems, that's when we start being able to navigate our boat and go towards whatever it is we want, no matter what obstacles. And that's what I think is real power. Because you don't want to push away parts of yourself. You want to embrace all of it. And sometimes I think that can be what makes someone all the more compelling, all the more someone we want to connect with, or as an artist, I think that makes an even deeper artistry. You know, they call it, let's say, performing from the edge or from a place where you might fall. Martha Graham has a great quote. I wish I had it right in front of me. But she talks about this forever unrest that artists have, that they're never satisfied. Even if they just did the most brilliant performance, there's an aspect of them where they feel there's more and feel, you know, will they ever reach it? And it's part of what makes them an artist or a great artist. And I think that applies not just in artistry, but I think that can apply in business, that can apply in life. Because I think we're here to constantly grow and evolve. And the more we allow ourselves to be in that open space and to walk through it, then the more we will grow and evolve. And the more we can just dance with ourselves, dance with what we're here to give to the world, and let it pour out.
You know, I'm reading this book, Lynn and Gina, on it's about profiles of female geniuses, and it's about women who've had a great impact on the world. It details people like Oprah Winfrey, Golda Meir, Margaret Thatcher, Liz Claiborne, just all these people who made a big impact, women who made a big impact. And it talks about their traits and all their different backgrounds, which are pretty, you know, diverse. But one of the big things that they all have in common is the ability, in fact, the insistence, to listen to their own heart without listening to all of the doubts and the contradictions around them and what other people are saying and maybe what their own little doubting heads are saying. They didn't listen to that.
Right.
And I think that's what it gets back to what you're talking about and what, I guess, what you discovered within yourself in order to then be able to bring it out in other people, and what a difference it makes. Whether we're, again, performers or speakers or singers, or more importantly, whatever the dreams and passions and businesses that we want to go after, when we can listen to ourselves, our hearts, fully and ignore all the rest of that, I think we're unstoppable. I think we're unstoppable.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And as Gina was saying in the core concept of what your show is about, I mean, you have more flow, you have more ease, more fun, and as a result, you end up having more success. That's the irony, isn't it?
It really is, because that's exactly how it happens. When you really have this success-oriented mindset, success becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And when you really are missing these core elements and you're not following your passion and you're really doing things that are not in alignment with who you are and what your purpose really is, success is something that you really struggle achieving. Mm-hmm. And so just by following who you are and what you should be doing, not the should be from the should be's, but the should be for what's right for you, mm-hmm. you end up achieving bigger levels every time, and it feels better in the process, and it's easier, and life is simpler, and it's really amazing. It truly becomes a word that I hate, but it really becomes manifesting what you were meant to do. Mm. And I don't like the word manifesting because of the fact that so many people misuse it today, and it's kind of that buzzword that's out there that seems to be used for everything, but it really works in the right ways when you've got that success-oriented mindset. Mm.
That's great. Right on, Gina. I can add another layer of concept with that. And this I kind of got at an even deeper level out of the experience in Sudan and getting ready and going there and then even just being there. All of a sudden, all my focus was off of myself. All my focus was just on all the ways we were going to give and how we were going to help and just really being of service to the organization to help as we were preparing, all these different ways of helping. And all of a sudden, I noticed this whole different experience of myself and how I felt, and I felt just overwhelmingly happy and fulfilled and just absolutely flowing. And in there, and while there in Sudan, and even how I saw how the refugees were with each other, because they were so openly giving with each other. And what I recognize is that if we really come from giving. We've heard this before, but when you really get it at a visceral level, it's like a light bulb goes off. But when we really approach from the place of giving, what it is that we have to give, how can we be of service to the other person, how we can be of service to everyone we meet, and not about what we can get, and not about making the sale or whatever that may be, but giving as the number one priority, it is such a huge shifter. And I think it's a huge shift in how you feel and how you come across, and then in how your results, too.
It really is. That had to be an incredible experience. I'm almost envious of you having had that experience, because I know that feeling that you're talking about, that it seems like not many people really have the privilege of having during their lifetimes. That is an incredible feeling. For me, it really came during the time where my doctors had told me I had 12 to 18 months to live, and I was really living my life, you know, second to second, knowing that there were only so many seconds left in my life. And I really just decided during that time that, well, if that's all I had left, that I could do two things with it. I could use it for myself, or I could really do what I could to do something with those few seconds that I had left. And during those 12 to 18 months that I had left, the first 6 of them, I went out traveling the country. And as I was doing that, I really, it was for me, but I really focused on what I could do for other people that could really make a difference before I was gone. And as each day went by, that feeling of, okay, well, these are my minutes, these are my days that I have left, just kept going into the background, and it became so unimportant to me. And it's really feeling that giving it in your soul almost that really made a difference for me.
That sounds so powerful. And you know what I hear and what you said? It's like in those last moments that felt like right before death, you felt more alive than ever before.
Absolutely.
You felt your aliveness. And it was because you're like, this may be all I have. So it woke up every cell of your being to being present and connected
yes.
and alive. And that is also, I had a huge healing out of that experience in Sudan, because here I was seeing these people in dire circumstances and their past is just unthinkable, you know, suffering the atrocities that we've heard about in Darfur and then having to escape and going through the jungle, avoiding rebels and famine and all the things that they had to do to even get to the camp, and then at the camp what they're enduring. And, you know, if they think about their future, the future looks hopeless, you know. So you go, and they're the most alive, loving, present, deep, soulful people you can imagine. They're just on fire and so giving. And I just really got that. They were.
And they don't perceive it as being something terrible. They perceive it as being great because they're there.
Well, they think that, but also I think they just go, this may be all we have this moment right now. You know? And they just choose in that moment, well, this may be all we have. We're going to live it to the fullest. We're going to be playful. We're going to connect and love each other. We're going to totally be in the moment. And it was so profound, and it made me realize that we in the U.S. think we've got this past that we've got to go and psychoanalyze to death, go over and over, circulate around it and focus on it and think we've got to carve it out of ourselves until finally maybe we can be free, when really it's just a choice in a moment. And then just choosing to be in that moment and alive and letting it go and not holding on to it so much, not pushing it away but not holding it on either. And that's what I hear in your experience. I mean, what a rough experience it might have been, but in a way, what a gift. And
absolutely.
And how that, and
have you
how
ever that, read John Gordon's book, The No Complaining Rule?
Oh, I haven't read his book, but I've heard of that rule, and I'm certainly a complaint-free world. I have one of those bracelets about not complaining for 30 days, and I just love that.
The book is fantastic, and basically what it boils down to is the premise that he says you can look at everything in one of two ways. There's either the have-tos or the get-tos.
Uh-huh.
Other than dying, you really don't have to do anything. Everything else is a get-to. And this is something my grandmother always talked to me about, and she said, Gina, there's only two things that you have to do. You have to die and you have to pay taxes. Everything else is a privilege. And if you really perceive everything else as a privilege, I live with pain every day because of my illness. That pain is even a privilege. And when you really get that, it is so much happier to live.
Wow.
And everything becomes happy. Mm. Right?
Cool. Oh, it's just beautiful, Gina. That's right on. I've been using this mantra, and it's related to that. It's saying that everything that happens is the key to my prosperity. So any challenge, anything, it's just everything is the key to my prosperity.
That's big.
Yeah, because it's all going to be in how you handle it anyway, or how you process it. And it
absolutely.
It gives the power back to yourself when you approach it that way. You're not a victim of circumstance that way. You are at power. You're at choice.
Absolutely. That's big.
Yeah. Huh.
So, Jennifer, I know you had some other things you wanted to talk about today, too.
Yeah. So, so many things to talk about. But, okay, I want to focus on this for a moment. This is, as you know, Lynn, a show about creating relationships, right? It's called Relationship Marketing 101.
Okay.
And, of course, in order to help our businesses, a big part of creating these businesses is communicating powerfully and effectively as possible, whether we're communicating through our blogs, through our radio shows, or you know, open presentations, whatever it is, it's about communicating and creating relationships. Now, in some of the work that you do, and as you pointed out earlier, it's something like 7% of what we say, or in many of our cases, write, et cetera, is communicated by just the words themselves. But the other 93% of what our audiences hear comes from something else. So what is that other 93% about? Where does it come from? And how can we as individuals most powerfully take advantage of that 93% and communicate the most powerful, authentic, important message that our audience or readers or whatever need to hear at any given moment.
Well, that's great. Well, you know, it relates back to some of what we said, but I think it is important sometimes people need to hear various studies to really get this isn't just some philosophy that we're spouting out, that this is, you know, proven research. This is just one of many studies that illustrates that point, and it's a famous study from UCLA, although there's been some subsequent studies that kind of shift the percentages to more 80% as opposed to 93%, but it's still a significant percentage. And it said that in communication effectiveness, they found that only 7% was based on the actual words that you say, and the remaining 93% is nonverbal communication. So it's everything from the tonality in your voice to your physicality to just the energy of your being. So let's just say call that 80-20 then. Here's another 80-20 rule.
Here you go, 80-20 principle.
Right, except that really it's 80% of who you are being in every moment is what people are receiving from you. We get so caught in our head thinking we got to say it just right, or what are they thinking, or what are, you know, is this making the impact, or whatever ways we get caught in our head and just let the words come out. And then we realize we are so diminishing our power because we're only giving 20% of our power via the words instead of really standing in that heart place and that looking at how can I nurture this relationship, how can I give, how can I be present, kind of like what Gina and I were just talking about, and really be interested, listen to the other person. And from that connection, you are nurturing the relationship, the person's feeling into you. And, you know, you also got to get into a thing of trust. Don't put everything on this one person you're talking to, and it's all going to rely on whether they choose to go with you or not. If we really recognize the abundance that's all around us, if it's not this person, it'll be someone else. So honor that person, honor that moment, and just really be with that person and nurture the relationship. For all you know, maybe that person doesn't choose to do business with you or in whatever your business is, but they might know somebody else. Or down the road, as you've nurtured that relationship, they end up connecting you to someone else that's far greater. And we just get into a place of trust in every moment and not start getting in our head and thinking we got to get it figured out in that moment, which then keeps us in our head and not in our heart and diminishes our power. When we start doing that, that really just, it narrows down who you are, it narrows down your impact. So that's why standing with trust, stand and communicate from the heart and the giving, and really listen and truly be interested. And let me also share with you, here's another example of the power of listening. I had the great pleasure of connecting with Frank McGuire over the weekend. He was the head of FedEx and so many other companies. He's well respected. And he was talking about when FedEx was first coming out, and they had just spent $20 million on this ad campaign about, hey, America, there's a new airline in town. And, you know, they showed an airplane that said FedEx on the back and then a FedEx guy standing in front of it holding your packages, right? And so they took it to test markets so they could, you know, get the response and see how that would be. And they put $20 million into this campaign. And so he was behind a two-way mirror where they don't realize that standing behind other decision makers listening in. And he was there with all his other folks in the company. And then they had a group, and they showed them that ad, and they asked them what they thought of the ad. And most people were saying, yeah, that's great. And they all kind of raised their hands saying, yeah, that's cool. But then this one guy raised his hand, and he said, you know, I got to be honest with you, man. I think that's great. That's fine. But I don't really care how it gets there. I just want to know that it gets there absolutely positively on time, or whatever that, you know, current FedEx slogan is or was for however long. And, you know, Frank McGuire, his head perked up and he went, oh, what was that? And he wrote down what that guy had said. His guy's name was Tony. And his other people in the room weren't really paying attention. But that really stood out for him. And then he ended up making that the campaign for FedEx. He ended up rewarding that guy. The guy was just speaking from his heart in the moment, you know. But Frank McGuire is listening and paying attention. And as a result, they completely changed their campaign. They put it around that, and, you know, the rest is history with the success of FedEx. So just an example of the power of listening.
Isn't that interesting? And sometimes it may not just be listening to the majority, and especially it kind of sounds like the nice comments, the nice majority saying, oh, yeah, that's good, or this is a great product, or this is a great service, but really listening to the people who have constructive or otherwise criticism as well and hearing. Is there not, you know, this is bad what you're doing, but hearing how can I change it to make it better? Hearing is there something I can do better out of that? And just like Frank did with, you know, I don't care that it's an airplane that gets there. I just want it to get there on time and, you know, without
resistance. Yeah, and you know, I think, and this is a big lesson I got recently, and a lot of times we see the world in such black and white, and so we've got to feel like it's perfect, or we've got to feel like everybody likes us, or if there is some constructive criticism or something said, then that means everything doesn't count, or all of a sudden then that means that it was all bad. Instead of recognizing that if we just stay in this open place, and not get in the black and white about it, but really look at what are other ways we can take it to the next level. Or someone says something constructively, constructive criticism like that, then what ways can we improve and not take it as a slap down? Because if we take it as a slap down, we probably won't be as apt to listen to it. And we also take it as a way that then feels we make feel bad about ourselves, as opposed to saying that may just be, here's an opportunity, again, an opportunity, a key to my abundance, a key to my prosperity. Here's a way that I can now take it to the next level and get excited about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My goodness. I love what you said, that when somebody gives us a criticism, whether it's well-intended or not, that it doesn't mean everything that we're about is bad. Because you know what? I know I've certainly done that and can do that in my life a lot. But it's just that. It's a criticism of whatever thing that they just criticize and nothing else. Nothing else. We can take things personally, and we can, you know, oh, I might as well wilt and die when somebody says, I don't like what you wrote in that campaign, or I don't like this product. It's not about that. Learn from the lesson, learn from the criticism, and move on.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't mean you're some horrible writer. It just means that particular thing, let's find improvement or something. Or it doesn't mean you're a horrible person because, you know, made a mistake somewhere. You know, that's certainly a big thing that, you know, what we deal with in WOW, or one of the things. I'm going to talk about happy mistakes. You know, when you're presenting, by the way, people who speak a lot know this, and, you know, I've spoken around the world, and I know, Jennifer, you speak a lot, and imagine, Gina, sounds like you do as well. And
I do.
And you know that when you are out there speaking and doing live events, it's inevitable something is going to come up. It's inevitable. The speaker's going to go, wah, in the middle of your speech, or, you know, something, the banner hanging behind you on the wall falls down. I mean, you know, you never know. There's always something that might happen. And the best gift you can give yourself is, no matter what happens, use it. Go with it and make it part of it, even if it's a big mistake. And recognize that then that ends up being happy mistakes. And the reason is because if you are coming from a place where you are, your number one priority is connecting with the audience, it's a conversation that's like you and a friend talking. And they're up there with you and you're out there with them. It's like this circle of energy. And you're speaking from this place fully, authentically. And no matter what comes up, you're sharing in what's going on and the audience is with you. The audience will feel a disconnect if you then get embarrassed, or all of a sudden, oh, trying to cover up a mistake and feel bad about it, and now you start getting self-conscious or something. Then that acts as a disconnect. But if you include them on it and just go with it, and you can say something funny about it, or you just acknowledge it while it's going on, and as if it's just a conversation with a friend, it makes the, no matter what happens, it just makes the speech flow. And that can be even if you were to forget where your place is, or forget what you were saying in the moment, which, of course, is every speaker's worst nightmare. But I even saw that happen with Jack Canfield, the master in speaking. And he was doing some speech, and all of a sudden he completely lost his place. And he stood up there and went, huh, wow, I just completely forgot what I was going to say. So, okay, hold on there. Hold on 1 second. And he just kind of stood there and thought for a moment. I went, wow, well, you know what, I guess I'll come back to it. And he went to something else, and then he went, oh, and then he came back to his point. But he didn't let it fluster him, and he included us in on it, and he was able to navigate right around it. And we loved him all the more because we were part of it. We were with him on that. And I think the more we really recognize that and allow it, it's so much more freedom. And it makes us so much more powerful in what we do.
Lynn, then tell me this. Geez, you're so right. So I haven't spoken as much as you, and certainly not as much as Jack Canfield, but I absolutely found that to be true, that the more human I was and the less, in the beginning of this radio show, you talked about as a speaker, you know, I should hold my arms like this and I should speak like that. But the less.
But I wasn't saying you should do that, just people start thinking they need to.
Oh, right, exactly. And the less I worried about that, the less people worry about, you know, a speaker stands like this or does like this. Same thing with writing or anything else, and the more you just speak from your heart, write from your heart, et cetera, and when you flub up and go with it, the more people like you. I was telling somebody recently, as I shed these roles and go through these transformation or whatever, and just be more myself, not worrying so much about what people think, including about what they think about my mistakes or flaws or whatever, the more I like people and the more they like me and the more they connect with me. And I think that's true in business, whether we're writing, whether we're speaking, anything. Just, be human, own it, and move forward with it. Now, I want to use that as a transformation point to move to something else, which is this. So it's one thing to recognize we make mistakes and to not get flustered by it. It's another thing to pull out from each and every one of us as individuals the brilliance, the unique brilliance, I think maybe those are your words, that each and every one of us has. And the
yes.
reason I want to focus on this is because it is a night and day difference for people in their businesses, in their lives. And Gina talks about this too in a different way, but she absolutely focuses on it, and that is this. When we're able to pull out that unique brilliance, as you say, Lynn, and ourselves, and run with it, there's nothing we can't do. And I watched you pull that out. So when I went through the Wow Factor and some other things that you've done, I watched you pull it out of authors. I watched you pull it out of, I think there was a radio host. I'm trying to remember everybody who was there. I don't think there were any, maybe one other speaker. Most people were in some kind of other business. But I watched you pull that out of each and every one of us as individuals, and I want you to talk about that, how people can connect to and unveil, as you say, their unique inner brilliance.
Mm. Well, I will do my best to speak it from a sharing a distinction, you know, from an informational point of view. What I think is the magic of the Wow Factor is that it's so experiential and it's process-based. So we do some processes that have people really be able to connect with that. And then within, you know, the experiential side, people are right up there now trying it on. You know, I wouldn't say trying it on. They're being it. They're doing it. And then in that moment, we'll work with them. And so it's something that is happening in the moment and is very experiential. If I were to try to say it informationally, I'm trying to think. I have like several thoughts at once. Now I feel like Jack Canfield. I have several thoughts at once. it's funny. Well, I'll say a couple things, okay, and in no particular order, and it might be just a little bit off what you're saying, but it's very useful and helpful overall, okay, and it'll bring us around to what you're saying. One huge, huge little distinction, there's like a couple I'm going to give, and they're so simple and so small, and yet they make the hugest difference, and that is that, say, you're speaking to a group, and even if you're speaking to six people, this makes a difference, but especially, of course, if you're speaking to a big group. And that is when you are speaking, you want to speak like it's a conversation one-on-one, and you have the entire audience that you're speaking to through one person's eyes at a time. Okay, so a lot of times people feel like they need to speak and kind of scan the audience and look over the audience and kind of make their head in a sweeping motion over here and now over there, and that's going to include everybody. But what that actually ends up doing is diffusing your focus and diffusing your presence and your power and your impact. Whereas, and you'll notice the really great speakers do this, Jack Canfield being one of them, but then they'll stand and they will talk to one person in the audience, connecting eye, you know, looking right them right in the eyes, and hold the energy of the entire audience, but through these one person's eyes at a time. And now talk over here and talk to a different person, looking in their eyes. And what it does is it makes the focus so much more powerful, makes your presence radiate so much more, it makes the connection so much more powerful, and the impact of your message is off the charts, speaking in this way. And it's interesting, when we're doing it, the wow factor, you can see people, they get it, and they've even seen the difference when other people up there are doing it, and they get up there, and they're so run by habit, they think they might even be looking at one person's eyes at a time, but they're still flitting around with their eyes or their focus. And we really work on them getting to speak one person at a time in the audience. And then once they do, they suddenly get a click where all of a sudden now they have this freedom that happens for them where they really do start speaking from the heart. And they have this almost like this magical presence that opens up. It's really powerful to see. So that's a simple, simple distinction that will make all the difference in the world if you really harness the power of that. Another distinction, and I heard Andy Andrews say this weekend. He was speaking at Mark's mega book marketing event. And anyone who knows Andy Andrews, he's a legend. He's had his own PBS show for years. He's written so many best-selling books, one that's well-known called The Traveler's Gift, but just a whole bunch of books. And he's just one of the best speakers I've ever seen, and he's so entertaining, too. And he was talking about, you know, whether you are dealing with a client or, you know, you're speaking or whatever you're doing, or let's say you're on an interview, he said, smile while you talk. If you smile while you talk, people like you. And the thing is, people sometimes get so focused or concentrated on what they're saying that they don't realize that their face is looking really serious. And sometimes almost it looks like consternation, you know, as opposed to concentration. And there's also sometimes we have maybe serious topics, and we feel because it's a serious topic, we can't really smile about it. We've got to be serious. But there is, when people see this in the wow factor, they really get the huge difference it makes. But if you really give yourself the freedom to smile while you are talking, at least really harness the power of a smile. Obviously, you don't want to sit there like a pasted-on fake smile and be talking like that, then that's going to be inauthentic. But if you just remind yourself to put in that smile as you are communicating, it lights up your face, it lights up your presence, it deepens the connection, and it actually even carries the spirit of what you're communicating far better. I don't know if in your group, Jennifer, you got to see that to the degree. We're seeing that more and more in our various wow factors, but it's so wild when you see the difference it makes with people. So as far as then coming down to pulling out someone's unique brilliance and heart, it really helps. Am I saying something or am I missing?
No.
Okay, sorry. I just heard something. That's pulling out someone's unique brilliance and their heart and their real authenticity and the core of who they are. When you trust, some of this happens through our processes and the experience of going through it, but I'll try to communicate it from an information place. But in trusting that what you have to share is valuable, trusting that you are enough, trusting that people want to hear what you have to say, and they do. You could be talking about La Brea tar pits, you know, but if you are speaking with passion and you have a purpose behind it, people will be interested in what you have to say because they'll connect to your passion and they'll connect to that purpose underneath the surface. So just trust in that and then stand from that place of real connection, which if you're looking in an audience in the eyes one-on-one, really connecting one person at a time from that place, it'll come out of you in that way. If you do harness the power of smiling while you do it, having a sense of play underneath the surface, that is a freeing energy. It's amazing what it just adding a sense of play, adding a playfulness. And it's so hard for some people to get their brains around. But, you know, when we do the work in the wow factor, they really get it. And it just explodes open people. It just explodes open their message. But you add that little bit in and you make so much more impact. And it draws you out of yourself as well. So that's some of it. I mean, other parts of it would really have to be in the process to be able to get it. And I certainly invite anyone who wants to experience that. I would, you know, my doors are open, would love that. But that's some of it, and hopefully that can help just from speaking it as opposed to really being able to experience it.
You know, absolutely. And I, as you talk about the wow factor, again, it's been some time since I experienced it, but I remember one of the things I recall is you had us talk about something or other, whatever it was, and some little presentation, and then we went, did these different exercises, did these different things, which had, among other things, had us trusting ourselves, had us not worrying about, you know, what is everybody going to think, and just trusting in the power of who we were and what we wanted to say and what we were passionate about. And we did, and then everybody would go up and say, talk about whatever it was that they had talked about earlier. And there was this night and day shift. As you saw, people believing, starting to believe, and then really believing that what they had to say was valuable, that who they were was valuable, that they were enough, that their passions was important to the world. It was night and day, Lynn. It was night and day, and it was fun. It was fun to experience it and to see it and go, oh, so that's what that feels like. Oh, my God, if you haven't experienced that,
Yeah, and, you know, and it's also even, and we got to realize that even the masters out there, everyone has another level to go to or some other way to even get all the more in that space, if you will. And so it's really important at all levels, whether it's discovering it for the first time or discovering it at an even deeper level. And, you know, Marcy Shimoff from the movie The Secret, and she also had that best-selling book out last year, Happy for No Reason. Actually, they're doing a big campaign right now again for it, I think because it's coming out in paperback. She came and did Wow Factor last year, I mean a year and a half ago, and she was almost going to cancel her tour and not go out on her tour. She just felt, she had been on the circuit of speaking for 15 years, but she just didn't feel like, oh, I want to go out on this tour and promote this whole thing, and she had some other issues around it, and we did the Wow Factor with her, and she had a huge breakthrough. This is someone who's already masterful and already been doing it for years.
That's pretty incredible. And
what's that?
That's pretty incredible.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, well, so she had this great breakthrough, and she went and did 200 media appearances. It was a best-selling book, and she was on Oprah, I mean, and had a time of her life and loved it, you know, and it's awesome. Imagine if she had chosen to not go on that tour and share that book that's making such a huge difference for people. You know, we sometimes get so inside our own stuff, we're suppressing the message that we have and the different ripple effects of the ways that can make such an impact for the planet.
And imagine if she didn't, and imagine how many other Marcy Shimoff or whatever that are out there that just hasn't yet exploded onto the surface, so to speak.
Well, that's an important message for our listeners to hear, because many of my listeners are people who are just getting started in owning their own business, who are usually struggling with the whole idea of, okay, what is my passion and where do I find this? And I hear so often, well, I don't have a passion, or I don't have a niche, or I don't know where to find a niche. And for them to realize that even people who are at the level that Marcy was at still struggle with that same issue, I think is an important thing for people to hear.
Oh, yeah. And or even, you know, as you go along, I swear I had this conversation with someone Sunday. He shared with me that people inside, behind the scenes, that you will grow tired of your own brand way before the rest of the world does. So let's say this is not the case with me, but let's say we were talking about myself and the wow factor. And let's say I'm going, okay, I need to totally change the name of the wow factor and change the approach to the wow factor. Let's say I was thinking of that. And it's because I've just been around it now for a while and I'm starting to think, well, it needs to be different. Or maybe, you know, just start feeling tired of the brand, and yet recognizing that's just apparently something that happens for people, but it doesn't mean that that's what you're supposed to do or need to do. Maybe years later down the road, then you want to look at how you would start shifting and reinventing. But I thought that was interesting that that can happen. Even people have been around for a while, they start to maybe question, you know, what their message or their brand is.
But you're saying we should stick with it longer if our heart.
Yeah,
just
continue to trust it. Maybe find ways, kind of like Marcy did, find ways to reconnect with it that then light you up, light that fire up. And so that you can continue to get that message out. Because I think it's a human experience. I mean, I even saw it in the refugee camp. I think it's a human experience where we have, in some innate way, this feeling almost like we're not enough. And even when we're at a great success level and it's going great, there's like a not enoughness that is a part of the human experience that we are, that is always there for us to heal. And there's a blessing and a gift in it because it's like a turbo fuel for us to keep moving forward and growing and evolving, but it has can have the negative effect sometimes of us never is not feeling whole or complete or feeling enough. And if we can find a balance of continuing to grow and evolve and having that yearning of growing and evolving, but yet also really feeling complete with what our message is, with who we are, and embracing all that.
So it really depends on how we choose to focus on that. I'm not enough, or I am enough. As you put it, you know, do we focus on I'm just not good enough, or use it as fuel to turbocharge growth, as you put it?
Right. And focus is, I swear, I just feel that so much. Everything is about focus. Obviously, law of attraction, what you focus on expands. They say it's all about focus. But you know what? It's the same in business. It's the same in navigating our moods and our attitude, and it's the same in speaking. I talk about, you know, when you get nervous, let's say you've got a lot of nerves, and even to the great ones out there, nerves can happen for certain circumstances. And instead of focusing on, oh my God, I'm nervous, and I've got all, you know, these butterflies, and you've got all these voices going off in your head, and they're like an alien in your face dancing around, you know, oh my God, what are they going to think? Is this going to come out right? I don't feel prepared, or whatever the nerves are. If you focus on that, well, that's going to be your experience, and that's what's going to show up. But what you can do is you kind of move it to the side. You let it dance on the side, and you focus on what you came to deliver, what you have to give, and leading from the connection between you and that audience, or you and that client, or you and that meeting, whatever that is. And you keep constantly just shifting your focus to what you are there to deliver and what you're there to give. And by the power of your focus is where the magic will come. If you give any focus or attention, sometimes it'll go there, you just got to instantly shift it right back. It's okay if it starts shifting back to, oh, the fear or the worries about the voices, but then just be that navigator and shift it right back into what you are there to focus on. And focus, I have an acronym for it. It's FOCUS, follow one course until successful. There's lots of different ways.
Oh, I love that. Follow one course until successful. Can I use that?
Absolutely.
Like, give you credit for it? Awesome.
That wasn't mine. I wish I could say I came up with that one. But that one, I heard somewhere. I don't even know who said it. And I went, I love that one.
Oh, I love that one as well.
So, yeah, follow. And there's lots of ways you can apply that particular acronym. But, you know, if we recognize the power of our focus, it's like that whole, which we've heard that metaphor over and over again about the plane. It does not fly from point A to point B in a straight line. A plane is off course 90% of the time. The reason it gets from point A to point B is because it's constantly shifting to be back on course. So if we recognize that mastery is the degree to which we catch it and shift it back, catch it and shift it back. Mastery is not experiencing the stuff that goes on. Mastery is us having the power of shifting when we catch it and continuing to shift and get back on course. So give ourselves that permission and give ourselves that focus and that power.
Mm-hmm. Mastery is the ability to shift and keep getting ourselves back on course. Not about being a master from the beginning. You're saying the ability to just constantly get back on course. See, that's great, because for those of us who feel our flaws and feel that we're not enough and we, you know, gosh, if we aren't successful now, maybe we're never going to be, that's ridiculous. No, we just need to keep getting back on course, just back on course.
Yeah, and everyone, you know what the great thing is that right now, if you're experiencing that to a huge degree, and probably there's a lot of people are because of the economic environment, celebrate it. Just like Gina said, and bless you, Gina, you really inspired me with what you shared. You know, but celebrate it like you are the little worm, caterpillar in the cocoon, becoming the butterfly, and the butterfly, and now the butterfly, and the butterfly getting out of the cocoon. If you were to open that cocoon and bring the butterfly out, then the butterfly can't fly. The butterfly needs the struggle of pushing itself out of the cocoon and finding its way out and strengthening its wings so that now when it's out of the cocoon, it flies. It flies in the moment it's out of the cocoon. So we got to recognize this is what is strengthening us. This is what's giving us our juice, our fire, our power, our purpose, our passion. And to allow it, it's okay. We need to really embrace when that stuff goes on. What a great story we can have to share years later down the line. Well,
there's one big deal about that caterpillar. That caterpillar knows it's going to become a butterfly. That caterpillar's not there going, oh, I'm just a little worm. It knows that someday it's going to be this glorious butterfly. And its struggle is all about that. And so it's the same way as you're going through this struggle in your life and your business, Jennifer. You've got to know deep down that you're going to be that butterfly, and that whole struggle is about becoming that butterfly. If you constantly are looking at, oh, I'm just this little worm, or, oh, these are just my faults and there's no way I can ever become a butterfly, you're never going to get there.
I don't know. You know, Gina, I hear what you're saying, that we need to have the power of that feeling of knowing and know where we're going.
Uh-huh.
But I think we need to be okay with ourselves that we have the doubts come up so that we can embrace them and look at that as part of the struggle of becoming the butterfly.
Yes, that is what I am saying, exactly what I'm saying. Yes, it's okay that the doubts are there, but you still know the direction that you're going in, and you still have faith in your ability, even in spite of the doubts.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
the doubts are okay. You've got to embrace them, though, and you've got to do so in a way that allows you to overcome. The way I usually say it is, you've got these underlying beliefs that you've got activated within you, and if you've got these underlying beliefs that there's no way you can ever be successful, you won't be successful. You just won't. You've got to believe that you can be successful and allow yourself that journey and that struggle to get there.
And while I've just found that I then would latch onto something like you just said and then make myself wrong because I have those beliefs successful, and then that would pull me down all the more. And so I had to be okay with that. I had the belief systems and have coexisting. I would have the belief that I can't be successful, but I can also coexist with the belief that I will be successful, and then and allow that'll come up, but I can just still continue to use it like the plane metaphor. And
oh, that's
keep,
good.
And keep bringing my focus back to the belief that I can be successful. Because, again, the plane is off course 90% of the time, but if you are adjusting your course, then you will make it to there. So if you have the conflicting beliefs, just keep adjusting the focus to the belief as opposed to the non-belief and not making it wrong and saying because it's there, then that means
exactly.
It's going to pull you down. And that's making and has made all the difference for me, because when I would then just hear that, then I think, well, then I can't make it, because Lord knows this just feels like a complete entire part of me that I don't believe it.
Gotcha.
So it's just recognizing that that's there and that's okay, and just continuing to shift it.
And you're right, the plane is off course 90% of the time.
Yeah, so it's just allowing the beliefs to coexist. Don't feel like because one's there, then that means you got to get rid of it before you can then get the belief. Just allow both to be there and choose the focus. And, you know, do you know that picture from oh gosh, was it Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, I think. And they've got a picture, and in this one ink blot, depending how you look at it, either looks like a young woman or an old woman. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Right. I think so.
Yeah.
I wish I could.
Oh, wait, yes, I do know what you're talking about. Let me see if I can find the URL for that, because I know it's online.
Yeah, I have it. I could always email it to you to post later, but I wish I could show it right now. It's so powerful. Well, they used it to illustrate a different point, but I use it to go, look, both are there. You're not making one or the other go away. They're both there, but what will you choose to focus on? If you focus on the beautiful woman, that's what you'll see.
Mm-hmm.
If you focus on the old woman, then that's what you'll see. So they're both there. It's not making one go away or not. It's just what are you choosing to give focus to?
That's great. I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm not finding it.
And welcome.
Yeah, if you want, let me know, and I'll email it to you.
Okay, great.
Looking for that URL, I want to take this back a moment. You guys were talking about the metaphor with the butterfly, and I think it's fair to say that, number one, we probably all go through many metamorphoses throughout our lives. And what's interesting about the analogy with the butterfly is we were talking about struggles, and somebody at one point decided that they would help. They took, you know, cocoons of little caterpillars, decided they would help them out of the cocoons and see what would happen. And what's interesting is by helping the butterflies get out of their cocoons sooner, rather than having to struggle so much to break their way out, the butterflies died. They weren't strong enough to flap their wings successfully as soon as they actually got out of the cocoon and to fly off and to be butterflies. So the point of that is that while we go through our struggles, it doesn't mean that we can't do it. It means we're making ourselves stronger for when we're ready, when we actually do break out of the cocoon, and when we're fully prepared and strong to fly. So I love that analogy with the butterfly, and it makes me feel, and I think anybody, that as we struggle and as we'll continue to throughout our lives, no matter what levels of success and achievement that we get to, we're always going to have struggles. And just knowing that, hey, that's a part of the growth of me achieving whatever I'm looking to achieve next, knowing that, I think also gives you power and inspiration to keep going forward. Oh, it's just part of making me stronger so that I can really fly, really soar when the time is right to do so.
Oh, big time. Yeah, I mean, I hear Les Brown's story and what he went through. You know, Les Brown, most people know his story, but it was considered mentally uneducable and stuttered and could barely speak, you know, and he went through just shame and being put down and no one giving him a chance. And fortunately, one person, you know, believed in him and helped guide him, and he really just worked so hard, and he cultivated himself into who he was. He didn't show up that way, you know. Andy Andrews was homeless underneath a bridge for however long, and look at the amazing success that he's created today. I mean, there's just story after story after story. So we, you know, recognize that just because you are where you are now, that does not define who you are. You get to call and define who you are and who you want to be.
Absolutely. And on that same note, not only define who we want to be, but who we want to work with and the kinds of people we want to work with. You know, we've all heard, or most of us have heard, I'm sure, the saying that we are, whether it's our income, we are the average of our five closest friends, income-wise, and we are who we hang out with. I think it's worded more eloquently than that, but the point is there. And so if we want to be like, or have the characteristics of, or the business of, or the whatever of certain people out there, then we need to just start going after knowing them and being that side of us, which leads me to a question, Lynn, which is this. This show is about relationship marketing, and on this, Gina teaches and she has all kinds of mentoring programs and whatnot, which teach, among other things, you have to create powerful relationships in order to help your businesses grow, whether it's joint venture partnerships, whether you're getting somebody to email on your behalf or create some other kind of joint venture. And the point to this is this: you know a lot of who's who out there, and they know who you are. So my question to you is, how does somebody who's not feeling particularly strong enough, good enough, or whatever enough to meet and create these powerful relationships, how can somebody go from feeling nothing to feeling good enough and create these amazing relationships with people, as you've done?
I think there's like a multi-tiered question in that. Now, let me make sure I dissect that and heard that correctly. So are you saying, like, let's say someone's starting out, they don't feel like, they feel small, they don't feel like they're enough, and they want to approach someone big to look at working with them in some way in a joint venture. Are you saying how can they feel that they're worthy enough to approach somebody and ask about that? Or are you also saying how can they, when they're at one level, approach someone who's at a higher level?
Yes to both. Let's address the first one first. How can they feel good enough? And then the second one, how do you actually make that connection?
Okay, well, you know, I think it continues to be important to look at what is it that you're giving? What is your business giving people? What is your value of the business? Take it off of yourself if you need to. Even if the business comes from yourself, from your coaching or whatever it might be, what is the difference that that makes? And even if you don't have proof yet, if you don't have the testimonials or clients yet because you literally just have started out, and if that's the case, by the way, I would say, you know, work with friends at first to get some foundation of proof for seeing your work in action. But, excuse me, but look at how it has, you know, what it has done for people and really, really connect to that. So you take it off of yourself. A lot of times we are the ones who are the bottleneck. We are the ones who get in the way. And if you can take yourself outside of it and the difference it makes for people, whatever that is, even if it's printing, you know, I have an amazing printer. God bless him. He went into the printer's, into his, we call it office, not office, but into the shop on Saturday after they were closed and did a last-minute rush job for me and still charged me far less than Kinko's would charge, you know. And he did me a great service because it was a rush job I needed of flyers that had run out, and I was at a big event that I wanted to be able to take the opportunity and make sure the word got out. So he made a big difference for me in how he gave. Just so no matter what it is, what way are you, is your business providing such service and giving? So then that's number one, I would think. As far as being small and approaching someone bigger, let's say, if you really look at nurturing relationship, I think you are doing someone a disservice if you put them on a pedestal and you talk to them from that place like, oh, it's so, and like we're looking like you admire them and you look up to them and it creates a disconnect. If you recognize that we're all human beings, whether we're at some huge level of success or just starting out or wherever you are, and treat everyone in that way and connect to them from who they are as a person and not get caught up in their title or in their list of accomplishments, but really connect to them heart to heart who they are as a person, that will free them up. Plus, they'll feel that difference from you. You know, when they start getting approached by someone who's, you know, Google-eyed and looking all up to them, they, you know, it makes the other person feel uncomfortable. You know, so you actually make them feel more comfortable by talking to them as if you're on equal ground, with love, with connecting. And you can still honor them or even say how you appreciate their work, let's say, but you need to do it in a way where it's like on equal ground. And in a way that you look at how you can support them. And from there, you build a relationship, and then maybe from there, eventually, something can happen to where they would JV or do something for you. I mean, I am very fortunate to be connected with a lot of, you know, a lot of the people that we know out there in the industry, personal growth, but also a lot of, you know, successes or people that are well-known in the entertainment industry. But I just nurtured the relationship. I didn't just go right up to them and say, I want to do X, Y, Z, and start pushing my agenda. I really just valued nurturing a relationship. And then at such time, maybe it felt appropriate to look to do something together that would come up. Or maybe I would actually look for ways that I could give to them. Maybe I knew somebody that I could connect them up to, and that helped them. And then that, you know, opened and deepened the relationship all the more. So look at ways to give. There were times when I started out with Wow Factor where I even had certain people be my guest at Wow Factor. And it had them be able to experience it and me be able to say I trained them and then got the word out even more. Now, Marcy actually paid for it. Marcy was not a guest. She paid for it. But before, you know, back in the day when I first started, there were some people that I comped. And it was a way of giving to them But also, then they were experiencing my work and really got to get excited about it and spread the word all the more. So there's all sorts of different ways. Hopefully that's helpful.
Extremely so, extremely. And then let's bring it to this then, because I know we have a lot of people listening who are writers. Again, a lot of what Gina teaches is through writing, increasing our businesses through using the power of the Internet. And there's a story you have, I'm wondering if you're willing to share, about a writer who was looking to do something big with a project she was working on. Do you know what story I'm talking about? And she needed some help making a breakthrough there.
Are you talking about from the Wow Factor?
She wasn't. No. This is somebody who wasn't there at my Wow Factor. She was, I think, a screenwriter or something. Had to take this big.
Oh yes.
Somebody.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you share that story?
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. Okay. I get what you're saying, because also this does make a good point that people need to get, being aware of what is going underneath the surface, and we don't realize to what degree it's stopping us. And she was a brilliant screenwriter. And also she writes books and a ghostwriter and many other ways that she has her writing talents expressed. And she was coming to the Wow Factor so that she could be able to make her pitches to producers more powerfully. And the idea of meeting with a producer just terrified her. And, you know, she kind of would get a little clammed up and self-conscious and nervous and feel like she couldn't really communicate it, her project powerfully. Yes, she had some great projects. There's a thing that we do in Wow Factor. It's a process where we're looking at what fears are there and then being able to uncover what's underneath the surface and the ways that it's stopping us. And so how once we get to the other side where it's as if you've like taken the foot off the brake. So she did this process. I'll just jump to the other side and then I'll go back and say what she uncovered. But what happened is, you know, she first got up there and, yeah, she definitely was kind of, her face didn't smile at all when she talked, and she was real kind of just monotone and serious and just not really communicating her script or her project very well. And then, you know, by the end of the 2 days and the processes and the experience and then just working with her, I mean, she had fun. The fear was gone. She just felt like she was ready to communicate with the producers. She was excited. And she got so excited because she said she did not realize when she went home that all of a sudden she could not stop herself from writing. She was writing like crazy day and night. It was just pouring out of her. And she had not realized that because she had a fear of meeting with the producers and pitching her projects, it was acting like a foot on her brake to her writing. Because the more she wrote, the more she'd have to then create meetings with producers and pitch these projects. So she didn't even realize that she was being burdened in her own writing, in her passion that she loves to do, because it meant that one of the steps was having to put herself out there and meet with these people. And because then that fear was taken away, now her passion was pouring out of her. And now she was excited to meet with the producers and be able to communicate in a way that they'd get it. And in fact, if you believe in the law of attraction, you know, within that next week, she was on the elevator and just said hi to some guy, and he was a producer. And he said, well, then what do you do? She says, well, I'm a screenwriter. And he goes, oh, really, what's your project? So, bam, she just, you know, said her project really well. He was very interested, and he had her come into the office. And, you know, her career skyrocketed from that. So, you know, we've got to really see what ways are we stopping ourselves that we may not even be aware of because of our fears or because of what's coming up for us.
Oh, I think there's a ton of it out there. Thank you. That's the story I was talking about, and it gets to the crux of you helping her to create this huge shift in herself from then on, both in terms of her writing and in terms of how she approached people, that was so much more powerful than before. And she had the talent within her. She was a great writer before then, but to own her own personal power as a writer when she wrote from then on, as well as when she approached producers and everybody else in, you know, the business, huge shift, and which, as you said, skyrocketed her career.
Yeah. And for her, you know, too, why are we here on this earth? And I really think we're here on this planet to enjoy. I think we really are here to enjoy. So all the more reason to follow your bliss, to do what it takes to remove whatever barriers to pursuing your passion and to getting your passion out there. And her passion was being burdened. And boy, that's an inner hell. You know, when you know that you have this passion, like that's kind of how it felt for me when I was so locked up and when it came to performing way back when I was shut down, because I knew I had so much inside of me, but it was just locked inside there. And then to free that up, oh my gosh, now it's just a joy. It's a freedom to perform. I love it. I can't wait. And to speak. And for her writing, there is no burden with it now. It's a passion. And now you're all the more motivated because you're going to pick up the phone, make all those calls because you're not burdened by, oh gosh, how am I going to sound, or will they like me, or will this work? No, you're on fire for it. It really shifts everything.
Excited. And that is something that I'm sure you hear this all the time, Lynn, but you know, I've seen you as a speaker on several occasions, I've seen you as a singer on many occasions, and you always hear people, you know, from us, the audience perspective, or, you know, kind of in the back of the room or whatever, talking about the amazing energy that you put out there. It's more than just, you know, a great performance, which it's always that, and you're a great speaker and all of this, but there's this energy that you put out there that makes us feel great, too, that makes those of us who listen feel great, which is what you do in the wow factor. You pull that out of people. And so on that note, why don't you, we've been mentioning this wow factor thing a little bit here and there. I would really like it if you would take a moment to tell people a little bit more, what is this wow factor thing, and how can people get your help to pull their own unique brilliance out and really just take off from there?
Oh, great. Well, first of all, just for everyone and anyone listening, I really want to be fully of value and service, and I do have on my site itself something that everyone can have for free, and so I want to make sure they can take advantage of that. If you go to lynnrose.com, 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 and on the upper left you'll see a little thing that says free gifts, and you press on that, and then you'll get a free download of my song, Stand Up. You get this visioning process that's so powerful. It puts you in this place where you've already achieved what it is you're aiming for and how that feels and really getting inside it and in ways that you have that vision be drawn into your now. And then that's a visioning process. It's a downloadable MP3. That's also free. And then an article on how to have a confident and grounded presence. That comes. Also, I share a lot of resources and tips and all sorts of really, really valuable stuff. So that's for anyone who would like. Can go to the site and click on free gifts, and we'll send that to you. As far as wow factor, there's two ways. There is my, which is what this, the genesis of wow factor. It's a 2-day live training, only 15 people at a time, no more than that, because it's very hands-on, very experiential and personalized, and that's where I think such magic comes out of this experience, how people make such quantum leaps. It's process-based, so there's different processes that we do and then different things that we take people so they're right in that moment, you know, feeling, not just hearing distinctions, but living them. And then you get them in a way that's in a cellular way, part of who you are. It's like riding a bike. You could forget about it, not ride a bike for 20 years, and you get right back on the bike and bam, you have balance. It's same with this work. After these 2 days, it is forever a part of you. I mean, I even had Vito of Brand U, if you guys know who he is. He was just kind of an entrepreneur, but thought he might have to speak about the business here and there. And he took wow factor, and it was huge for him in that weekend. And but he didn't really speak again or think about that until 4 months later. He got called to go speak to a group of entrepreneurs in Singapore, and he got up in front of them, and bam, it was all right there. He sent me this excited email and left me this phone message, went, "You're so right, Lynn. It's just right there. I didn't even think about it." You know, so that's the value and the gift of what, you know, wow does for people. And it'll take you, whether you're set down and scared stiff, and at the end of 2 days have you be powerful and commanding and connected, or someone like Marcy Shymoff, where you're already playing at a high level in your game, or you're a very well-experienced speaker. And just like Tiger Woods, where you want to find ways to completely continue to up-level and be at your best and make your message have that better and better impact, and for yourself to experience even deeper and more freedom and power. This takes you to that next level, quantum leap. So I'm very passionate about this work, and it's 2 days, and they can go check, see some videos on there and learn more about it at wowyouraudiences.com, www.wowyouraudiences.com. You can also access it by going to my site, lynnrose.com, and clicking on the Wow Factor banner there. And we do have a training that's coming up from this moment that we are doing this recording or this radio show in 2 weeks. And that particular training, I'm able to offer your list for half off. They would have to contact me directly, and then I will give it to them for half.
Thank you so much, Lynn.
Yeah, and normally I can't do that, but I can for this, so I'm very happy to do that. They would just need to contact me directly, which they can, lynn@lynnrose.com. And then there's also a take-home version for people who can't come to the live one, and that's coming out. And they get this at this point right now, because they'd get it before it's officially released, they'd get it for half off as well.
Okay, so, wow, so if they contact you at wowyouraudiences.com and say, hey, I heard of you on Gina's show on relationship marketing, you're going to give it to them for half off.
Right.
But they have to do it for this training, which you say it's coming up in a couple of weeks on March
14th and 15th in Marina Del Rey, California. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, beautiful. Oh, is there on the ocean there? That's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And if they want to, if they're unable to make this, which if you... I've been to a lot of different workshops and whatever's myself, and in terms of feeling my most powerful and just watching that again, all of these people around me who came from all these different backgrounds, business backgrounds, and watching them blossom, metamorphosis, I don't know what that word would be. It's an amazing, experience. So if you have the chance, if you are the kind of person who knows that that's what you need to tap into and pull out your unique brilliance, I go to wowyouraudiences.com. I can't speak highly enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the home study course. If for whatever reason they don't make it, they would also find that at wowyouraudiences. Is that correct, Lynn?
No, actually, that they would need to go to my site, lynnrose.com, and then click on the, they'll see the take-home package banner. And they click on that, and then that'll take them to where they can look that over and order it. And right there already, it's already listed at half off because it's hasn't been officially launched yet. So right now, in this period of time, people can get it for half of what it's going to be going for. And you can reach me, lynn@lynnrose.com. Just people know. You can also reach me through my site, lynnrose.com. But just so the people know how they can reach me, I'm accessible, and I really am here to be of service.
Well, thank you so much, Lynn. I think this has been a great call. We had a comment in the chat box from someone who says, wow, this is an amazing show. Can all people participate? So that was great. And I really, really resonate with the message that you've been sharing with people about the wow factor. So I can't recommend what you've just offered enough to everyone. I wish I could go. Unfortunately, I can't be there. But, boy, I think it would be great for me to be there as well.
I'd love that. Oh, and, thank you so much. This has been just a wonderful conversation, and thank you for what you are bringing to the world with this show. And I just really, really appreciate it so much.
Well, if I can ever be of service to you in any way, please just feel free to contact me through Jennifer. That would be wonderful.
I'd love it. Thank you, Tina.
And Jennifer, anything to add? We've got about 90 seconds left.
Okay, well, just this. Lynn, I want to thank you for everything that you've shared today and for everybody listening. For those of you who've heard me on Gina's show over the last, couple months or so, and whether it's through Gina's I Am University or through empoweringwomeninbusiness.com, you know that this is my year of metamorphosis, and I've been evolving since the beginning of time. But I am so excited about the shifts that have been taking place, and if you want somebody that will help you bring that out quickly in an amazing way, I'm telling you, you got to contact Lynn. I you got to tell her you heard about her through Gina's show, and half off, that's huge, so thank you. But Lynn, you're amazing. Thank you for sharing the brilliance and just letting us all feel that power and tap into our own power today. I've been feeling it as we listened and talked today. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
And Jennifer and I will be back again next week at noon Eastern on Tuesday for Relationship Marketing 101. Jennifer, I'm sure you're going to get us another great guest for next week, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Lynn, again, thank you for being here. It's been a great show, and I'm hoping they feature it on Blog Talk Radio for the rest of the week.
Thank you so much. Have a great one.
You too. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
See you next week.